It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skip Me and Fanny Show, episode 92.
Randomly selecting topics we hope you find moderately interesting.
How perfect, Jen. Thank you. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
So we're going to talk about two topics today. We were going to have an interview, but apparently it fell through. So we're going to talk about two topics. One is a little bit old, so we'll be quick on it, which is the IPG, Independent Publishers Group, distributor who has had all their stuff pulled by Amazon because IPG refused to accept the terms and conditions that Amazon has put out. This is, of course, not unusual now because Amazon's basically flipped the middle finger at any publisher that doesn't follow its rules, which is adorable of it. But this should be very quick because my basic comments are just fucking sell me books. Like, I just don't get it. Like, oh no, the agency model, the books are going to cost $14.99. Then I won't buy them.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the crazy part. I don't know the details of the Amazon deal in the first place. I'm assuming it's because they were kind of pissed about the pricing model that Amazon keeps pushing.
Well, IPG potentially was particularly upset because the Amazon wanted more profit from the sale of the books and IPG.
Yeah. Which is absurd because it's all profit, essentially. If you're selling it electronically, a huge chunk of the money is profit because you don't have as many, you just don't have as many things to spend money on. You're still, you know, paying for the licensing of it or whatever, and you're paying for converting it into the Kindle format, but that's it. That leaves a lot of room for profit. So, yeah, if you're trying to sell me books for more than $5 to $10, you're selling way too, it's too high. And especially for independent publishers who these aren't big names, they're going to have a harder time selling at those higher price ranges, period.
Of course.
So it makes sense to me that this group has said, you know what, screw you, Amazon. Of course, you and I, we're both Nook owners, so
right.
Hopefully this is a good thing for us.
Well, I mean, one of the places that sells through here is Melville House, and they're a small press which does a lot of really cool books, titles for which I have not prepped myself to be able to tell everyone. But I do have a couple of their books somewhere in my library, and their stuff has been pulled. I mean, the New York Times, last I checked, said over 4,400 books have been pulled. The buy buttons for the Kindle editions. And I just don't get why it is so hard for Amazon just to sell me shit. Sell it to me.
And at a fair price, because, I mean, these guys are part of what it sounds like Amazon is doing is actually maybe lowering the price. I don't know if they're even selling at the higher price. I'm just reading the article that you sent me. And it almost sounds like they're pushing a lower price just so that they can sell more copies. But that, of course, means that the profit margin to the writers and the publishing companies is smaller. And Amazon can handle that because their sort of standard business model is bulk. And that sucks. Granted, I mean, for me, it's kind of okay, like I said. If it's more than $5 or $10, then I'm probably not buying it. But I'm also a cheapskate, so.
Well, and that's fair. I mean, the fact is the publisher's going to have to come to what they decide, what the public decides are the appropriate price for you.
Appropriate prices, yeah. I mean, and that's going to have to be the what prices are based on. And if it's just based on Amazon selling in bulk, because you can't just go off of what customers are willing to pay, you have to also kind of go on what writers are willing to sell for. And there's going to have to be a middle ground between the two for it to actually work on a sustainable basis. But if Amazon is just going to keep dicking people around, which they seem to like to do, then I say you're probably going to see more and more publishers dropping off.
Well, and that for Amazon, I don't think that's going to be as much of a problem because they're building up their publishing wing. My problem is that Amazon is at somewhere in all of these arguments, it has done something illegal.
Yeah.
This to me sounds like price fixing. Because what it's done is it's I mean, we've even taken the quote, it's essentially tried to renegotiate ebook terms in favor of Amazon, but in doing that it's also setting the prices and it's also hurting publishers because it's basically saying the publisher you have to take even less and less on what is already a small margin.
Right.
Right.
And we're going to take more. Ha ha.
Right, which it's price fixing. This is the problem. There's something illegal going on here. They violated a law. And quite honestly, I think one of the publishers, the big ones, need to basically take Amazon to court and sue them for trillions of dollars. And then Amazon, I guarantee you, will back off and they will stop being a dickhole. Maybe not trillions, maybe billions, but whatever. Trillions might be nice because I think
if only companies, corporations in the end had to pay the billions, then that might actually work.
Well, I think they should pay them to the authors.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the sales that the authors are losing over this. Because quite honestly, we've talked about this before previously, and we'll shut up after this. But the people that ultimately get hurt, yes, the publishers are getting hurt. Yes, Amazon's losing sales too because people want to buy those books and they go to Amazon first, obviously. But ultimately, the people that get effed by this are the authors because their entire likelihood of ever getting published again is based on sales. And if they can't sell the books, if they don't have the distribution channels, that's it. It's over for them.
Right.
I mean, it's not over. These are small. Some of these are small presses, which I'm sure take losses anyway because they have endowments or whatever. I don't know. But fuck you, Amazon.
As usual.
Just stop it. Just sell me fucking
books. Go Barnes & Noble.
Just sell me books. If I don't want to buy it, I'm not going to buy it. You don't have to, like, work on my behalf to make it so I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Whatever. True. Jackass. Okay.
Next topic.
This is the one we're probably going to talk about a little bit longer. Is a post that came out actually in February, the end of February, by Brian Thomas Schmidt, who wrote a post called "The Importance of Faith as an Element in Realistic SFNF World Building," and you and I take some issues with it.
Only because it's faith with a capital F that he's referring to.
Right. And there are a lot of points that I think I take really issue with this. I mean, there are a lot of things. I mean, for the fact that one of the things that bugs me is any type of post that's written like this, it always says, you know, even atheists agree with me, which immediately tells me, well, how many atheists have you talked to? Because already I'm probably going to disagree. You know? Because that immediately puts me like, you know, like you're trying to connect with me. And in fact, when you read the post, it tells you very clearly he has very big issues with actually understanding the intellect of an atheist or agnostic. Maybe he understands the agnostic a little bit more than an atheist, but it's clearly he doesn't understand an atheist worldview as much as he understands his own worldview. And I have a big problem with that because you can't be talking about these issues and then claim atheists, they agree with me, and then not really demonstrate that you actually understand our worldview. And in fact, what you find out is that atheists by and large actually understand the worldview of religious individuals far more than they do the other way. And this actually, by the way, is confirmed also by very right-wing people really don't understand people outside of their small social group, whereas people that are very far left actually understand the opposite side a lot more equally. Done in many studies that have proven this, and just rambling. But so Jen, what exactly should we take issue with here that we should focus on here?
You know, I think that the first thing that I really take issue with is actually his third paragraph, on which he refers to religion as a core element of societies as we know them. While there may be societies on Earth with no religion, I've not heard of one, and thus you should always have one in your books. First off, why? I mean, Hine says he doesn't expect them to dominate the narrative, but I have successfully read a large number of books that have no mention of faith with a capital F whatsoever, and yet they still work. Why? Because I think he's confusing faith with a capital F with a general world view and a sort of understanding of how things work in a world.
Sure.
and the type of world that you would like to see. My vision of what type of world I would like to see is not in any way, shape, or form based on faith with a capital F or even faith with a little f. And I will often say, you know, it's like I may be an atheist, but I do have faith in humanity. And that's true. That is a kind of one of I like to at least think I have faith in humanity. I like to pretend that I have faith in humanity, although a lot of the time they just totally, you know, excuse my language, shit on that faith. And I end up kind of having to
reassess
that faith in humanity.
Maybe even hourly
every time I hear a new quote from Santorum, for instance, I have to reassess my faith in humanity. Because that's faith is blind, completely utterly blind. It does not take into account reality, fact, proof.
We're talking faith with a capital
faith,
F?
Faith, capital F. Or even okay. Faith with a little f, for the most part, is not something that's grounded in fact. It just isn't. Like I was mentioning to you earlier, when I say, oh, I've got faith in my kids, they can totally do this, that's me BSing. You tell your kids you've got faith in them. Why? Because that's what they need to hear sometimes.
It makes them feel good. It's psychological.
It makes them feel good. It's exactly. It's psychological. Even if it's not something that I actually think they're capable of doing. And occasionally you use it kind of colloquially to say that you do have – you actually believe it's something they're capable of doing. But for the most part, when you're saying, oh, I've got faith in you, I hear that and I go, yeah, right, sure you do. You know, maybe that's the cynic in me kind of going for it, but I don't think that, but that's just one type of faith. And it's not the faith that he's referring to in this article. It really most definitely isn't. He's referring to a much larger thing. He's referring more to kind of the guidelines, the teachings, you know, the code of ethics that the people will say that they have faith in. And though I do believe that codes of ethics are very, I wouldn't say integral to necessarily a person's worldview, but they are very, I think a code of ethics is integral to a society. I mean, that's what we construct a society around. Those are our laws, our codexes. I don't even have faith in those, to be honest, because they can still be subverted and are on a regular basis. They are not something that you have to have faith in, quote unquote faith. It's something that you have to constantly be going, you know what, maybe we should reassess where we are with this. It's not something that's written in stone, and it's not something that you follow blindly.
Right, which is, again, I think the fundamental problem is what you're saying is he is confusing the big F with the little f.
Yes.
And that he is seeing things that are sort of absolute, but he confuses it even in the post where he talks about what is essentially the big F. He writes it in the little f, but he writes talks about the big F, but then he conflates the questioning with the big F, which is not – that's not actually true. When you talk particularly, for example, he says you know, he says, well, let me pick out the exact quote. In a world with so many things we struggle to explain with science, which seems so beyond human understanding, not true, but whatever, it seems natural for people to wonder if a higher power might exist that created them. This can only lead to questioning and even a drive to explore and discover the truth. Does not God exist? Well, let me break this down. First off, people that already believe in God are not asking these questions.
Because no, they're not.
There are very few people who say, I believe in God, but I don't know if God exists. Right, because those are fundamentally opposites. They conflict. It's like a whatever you call it when like they cancel each other out. Right, it's a plus and minus. Right. But people who don't necessarily understand things around them don't necessarily just start wondering if there is a God either. I don't necessarily buy that. In fact,
oh, well, I like how he says, does God with a capital G exist? Not does a higher power exist, well, but does my personal God exist? Because this is being written by a man who very vocally talks about his faith, and he is a Christian. So I think
he's a particular kind of Christian. He considers himself evangelical.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's I think that's a fundamental issue with this post, is I think it would be fine to say that many people will go. Maybe there is something out there that not necessarily is pulling the strings, but that had something, you know, to do with something, and, you know, and excuse me, what did, you know, what was the impetus behind this? What was the guiding sort of, was there a force? I get that question, but when you're specifically referring to that question in terms of your own faith, then I think you're really missing a point about, well, one, reality, the fact that we have multiple religions on this planet with multiple faiths.
10,000 different sects of Christianity alone, just so we're clear.
Right, exactly. And then, not to mention that that's not even taken into account the multiple systems of faith that can be built in, have been built into science fiction novels, because that's what he's really talking about, is faith in science fiction, and how he somehow thinks that you have to have it in order to create realistic science fiction.
Well, particularly he means like a real, he wants like a real faith, not like a fictionalized faith that's really Christianity but masquerading as something else, right? Because he brings that up.
Oh yeah. Don't just call it. Why not just call it Christianity or Islam? If that's what you're actually talking about. Well, maybe it's not what they're talking about, and you're just confusing it. I mean, I hate to break it to this guy, but elements of Christianity and Islam are basically in every major religion. Not all of them, but there are some that are kind of common, standard, epics that are in many major religions,
even ones
on
that predate
Earth.
Christianity and Islam. All the Abrahamic religions, there's elements that exist in the Abrahamic religions that predate them.
Well, yeah, that's mostly because Christianity and Islam, you know, co-opted earlier faiths. But
of course, Jesus' birthday was made up, by the way.
Yeah. Well, of course it was, but you know, if you look at the history, the Zoroastrianism has a huge influence on Christianity, and so does Hinduism, actually. So, I mean,
and paganism.
And they all kind of right. I mean,
maybe not the way they thought it would be, but
right. So you can't
pagans.
You cannot sit there and say that it has to be one of these two things. Religion does not fit into a little box. There are, as you said, 10,000 boxes just in the one big box. So, and I think it's fine to say that, yeah, I mean, religion does play a big facet in many people's lives. Everybody's? No. Every culture? No, not even necessarily
well,
that.
Let me challenge your first thing. Just real quick. No, because this makes
Go ahead.
Sense to you, okay? I would change the sentence to say this, that it is not we'll repeat your sentence so I can.
Which sentence?
The very first part of it about people and the religion in our lives, so I can actually put this in the proper words.
It can be a big facet in many people's lives.
Okay. I would change that to say that for people who you say don't have that there are people who religion is not a big facet of their life, I would alter that to say that it is not an intentional facet of their lives, that depending where you live, oftentimes you don't have a choice in the matter. For example, in the United States, where quite honestly, I don't have much of a choice of being basically slapped over the face with a Bible every day, because I go to campus and what do I see? People screaming about the Bible on campus. They have the abortion guy, anti-abortion people out there now. There's the guy who does like,
there's like, Rush Limbaugh calling me a slut.
You know, these things, but these are totally different than I think the problem is that those are impositions.
Those are impositions.
If they weren't
faith.
Imposing themselves on us,
yes.
We would probably not
yes.
have them in our lives.
Oh, I would happily live completely capital F faith free. But I mean, yeah. I do see his point that he likes to see. He as an individual likes to see capital F faith in his science fiction. That's fine. You go ahead, Brian, go and seek out every book in science fiction that does that, that has it not necessarily as a focus, but has it as a backdrop. it's not necessarily what I need to see. And if I do see it, I want to see the repercussions of it, its existence. I want to see the people who are getting slapped upside the head with the, you know, Bibles and the abortions and whatnot. Because
right, 'cause there's always a dark side to every faith.
Exactly. And I'm not just saying this about, you know, capital F faith. I'm just saying this about a lot of different things. I mean, you can say this about cultural aspects that are not faith-based. You can say this about government, you know,
science
whatever.
Even has a dark side. You okay?
I'm choking.
Well, because I said science?
No.
What?
I'm recovering from the flu. Question science, what's wrong with you? No, again, I don't even have faith in science. Why? Because I'm not an idiot. I mean, that's what gets me.
Ouch.
Is look, even in science fiction, if you're presenting me a world in which people are blindly following anything, and I'm sorry, that is the core definition of freaking faith. If you're showing me that world, then you sure as hell better be showing me the dark side of that type of thing. Because if you blindly follow anything, well, you're an idiot for one thing. But for another thing, you're not taking into account reality. And that's why I will definitely say that there's a difference between belief and faith. And I believe certain things, but it's not actually so much that I believe certain things as that I know certain things. I have gone to science classes and I know that A plus B equals C, sort of whatever. And I completely contrast that with saying that science has all the answers. I won't even say science has all the answers. Why? Because
I would change that, because I would not say that science has all the answers. I said science has the potential to give us all the answers.
Science has the potential to give us all the answers. Exactly.
Just maybe not tomorrow.
No. And it, like, you have to be very clear when you say potential. Otherwise, it's blind faith.
Right. Because it won't give us all the answers in our lifetimes or the generation that follows or the 10,000 generations to follow for that, because there are always questions. It's infinite. But it will provide us all the answers eventually. That's, again, one of the problems I think we both take with this post is this conflation, again, with science, with capital F faith.
Right.
And this idea that somehow science is unable to answer questions that the capital F faith, you know, it's implied here, it doesn't say it explicitly, but that capital F faith has answers to questions that science... No, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think capital F faith, like you were saying, is a sort of a blind acceptance of something as your answer that is not necessarily true, because quite honestly, the answer is made up. And that's fine. It's fine if the answer is made up, because inside you feel great about it.
Right.
Right.
I'm totally okay with people doing that.
Right. And that's fine. Right. And you may even be right.
There's the reason for Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy.
Okay. Well, let's be a little nicer than that.
Okay. No, I mean, but you have to say these are things that are made up, and kids really latch onto those things.
Right. Because they provide them. It provides a social something.
Exactly. For my children, it was a cultural thing. You know, for other people's kids, it might actually just be that inspirational sort of wow, you know, about life. But it all just depends. I mean, what this post really gets down to is that he is saying that he doesn't believe religion and science fiction are antithetical. And it's true. There aren't. And there are compatibilities between religion and science fiction, between capital F faith and science fiction. Between capital F faith and science, no, those are two completely antithetical things, in my opinion. Completely antithetical. You can have a faith in science fiction. That's fine. You can totally do that. You can have it as a driving force in things if you want. I can't even mention the book that I just read because that's in beta, but science can be used in a way that, like, people might have, you know, there's that sort of like, oh, I have faith in something. It happens a lot in science fiction, actually, where people will have capital F faith in something and it'll turn out to be completely grounded in reality.
Or, oh, okay, I thought that's where you're going.
You know, like, there will be a god, but it actually turns out to be some alien that's sitting up in a spaceship and screwing with people. I mean, that type of thing.
Sure.
Happens in science fiction a lot.
Yeah. I should be a little nicer. I shouldn't say that all capital F faith is like you just made it up. Because I don't think the people that exist now made it up. But
No. It was made up in the past.
Sure. It's a very rough way to say that it's not grounded in that you have to have faith that that is true without having any basis upon which to ground that faith.
Except, No. Most faiths are grounded in some sort of they're grounded in a perception of reality.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I don't know.
Inarticulate way, but yeah.
I just don't think what I truly absolutely disagree with is that he believes that a world without these motives of a higher faith. Because he even says that things like our love of American Idol is actually somehow equated with our need for idolatry and a god, which is interesting. But and maybe I'm totally misreading that, but that's kind of what it seemed like. He basically thinks that all science fiction should have something like that. Mm. And I just have to say I adamantly disagree.
He does say that. He says that there's a reason idolatry is so common in many incarnations, from the ultimate incarnation fest that is American Idol to car commercials and even the Oscars. We find plenty of people and things to inspire our envy. If I was only just like so-and-so, life would be perfect. I don't think that's necessarily what most people who watch American Idol are thinking. They're not. They don't have this, if I was just like so-and-so, life would be perfect. I think they're...
I think they're going, and they may be inspired by them. That's fine. You know,
and that's of course true because when you think of something like, I'm going to use a bad example because we just reviewed two of the movies, but Twilight, right? You know, people love Edward, right? But they don't want to be Edward. They want to get in Edward's pants.
Well, yeah.
So
they want to be Bella, which is really sad. I'm sorry.
Or they want to be their own Bella. They want the crazy weird sex relationship with Jacob or Edward, right? Right. That's what they want, but they're not. But anyway, that's another whole of rock.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just interesting that he says that if you don't have that, you risk alienating readers. And
I'm not alienated.
I'm not either. Maybe some.
I'm alienated by.
I don't think that people sit down to read science fiction looking god
or idols or whatever. Yeah, agree. They don't. They're looking crazy ideas and
yeah,
you know,
maybe they're looking for different answers. Adventure or different ideas about life. Maybe they're looking for faith, but not necessarily that kind of faith that I think he's trying to get people to include in their science fiction.
Yeah, and it'd be fair, the post is a little muddled in terms of, there are a lot of ideas. There are a lot of different, he's kind of mashing together all these various forms of faith as if they're all kind of the same thing, and I think that's also another problem here, is it gets muddled by that.
I don't know. I mean, I get it, it's the type of science fiction he likes, and that's fine. People who maybe are religious might completely agree with him. They probably do. And that's fine. There's a reason that there are thousands and thousands of books written in science fiction every year. So there's something for everybody.
Yeah,
I think the main point here, I don't agree that it has to be included. The end.
It doesn't necessarily have to be included. I mean... And it doesn't have to be such a... I mean, good Lord, you could just have a reference, and I guess he might have a problem to a reference to a religion, because it's not central.
I don't know.
I don't quite understand, because he says he has issues relating to a character who does not have these kind of higher goals, which he attaches to the motivations associated with faith. Well,
does that mean that he... I mean, like, is it okay for somebody to have, like, just higher goals because they're... people, and their higher goals are things like, I want to be good to my neighbor, but not because I believe in God. Is that I don't know if that's okay with him or not.
It seems to be so, because he says he tries to make a differentiation when he talks about the higher goals and the motivations. But it's very hard to take within the full context of the post, because the rest of the post seems to sort of refute that.
I don't know if things like fighting for women's rights works in his worldview or not, sort of thing. You know,
maybe,
that's basically
but he,
what
but
I'm
that
saying.
Again is the problem, because that goes
sure
from your small F to your big F.
Right, right.
Yeah, two different
but I don't see why fighting for women's rights even requires a big F or a little F.
Well, it shouldn't. I mean, quite honestly, we should all be capable of agreeing that women deserve full autonomy as human beings, but apparently not. But again, this is again the problem of conflating the little F with the big F, is that big F is sometimes associated with restricting the things that we would associate with the little F.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to talk too much about that.
And I have to leave anyway. So, love you all.
Well, hold on. We've got to end close. So, okay. So if anybody want to leave a comment or let us know what they think about this, we kind of went a little quickly through it, but okay. And we probably missed some points. If you want to disagree, you want to offer your opinion or whatever, we're happy to have it. So you can do that in a bunch of ways. You can go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
Email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
Blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
And Twitter.
Twitter.com/SkiffyandFanny.
Cool.
Booyah, suck it.
And this will be one of the shortest episodes in a while. So anyway, we will see you all next week. I believe we have Stina Light on.
Yes, indeed we do. We're very excited about that.
It's going to be good. So we will see you all next week with that.
All right. Bye, folks.
Bye.
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.